Did you get a little teary-eyed? Huh? Yeah, yeah. You know, as we remember, our God remembers. You remember Cornelius, the centurion, at Caesarea. It's on the coast of the Mediterranean. I've been there many times. An angel appeared to him. And he said, "Your prayers and your gifts have ascended to God as a memorial." You see, his prayers were pure. The gifts were pure. And I wonder, and this is speculative, if the centurion at the Galilee had been reassigned to Caesarea. Because you remember, this centurion had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. And you remember he had a servant who was ill. And he came to Jesus about this servant. And Jesus said, "I will come." Do you remember? You see the heart of God to reach out. We draw near to him, he draws near to us. We respond to him, he responds to us. We humble ourselves, he lifts us up. We pray, he hears. And you remember the centurion, he said, "I'm not worthy." This man was over many Roman soldiers. "I'm not worthy that you come to my house. Just say the word. For I too am under authority. I tell one to go, they go. I tell one to come, they come. Just say the word." Jesus was amazed. But you see, he said, "I have not even seen such great faith in all of Israel." And that servant was healed at that very moment. Because the one who is the authority was moved with compassion. So we respond to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a day that we can remember. We remember those heroes. And thank God that we remember the hero of heroes, the Almighty, the Most High, the Lord of Heaven's armies, our Lord Jesus, our King, Captain of the Lord's hosts, who revealed himself to Joshua. My, my. And you remember Peter, he was being prepared for this divine appointment. And I think it's interesting that, you know, Cornelius did not argue with the angel. He went immediately and prepared himself and all that were related to him, probably family, soldiers certainly, Gentiles. And you remember, Peter was on the roof of Simon the Tanner's in Joppa. Now, he probably thought he was really stretching it, you know. I mean, you know why? Because he's at an unclean place. That's where the tanning took place of the skins of the animals. It was unclean to the Jew. And yet, Peter and other disciples are there. You know, sometimes we think we're pushing the envelope. Well, the Lord wanted to take him farther and higher. And you remember what happened? While he's praying, it's the hour of prayer. It's you know, it's time to eat. What happens? God lowers a sheet with many unclean animals. And what does the Lord say? "Arise, kill, and eat Pete." He didn't say Pete. He said Just, you know, it's the poet. And you know what Peter responded? He said, "By no means, Lord." Think there's a contradiction there? Lord. Happened how many other times? Two other times? Three total? Peter understood threes. And I want to tell you, let him get through to you. Whatever you say, Lord, I want to be willing. Whatever you say, Lord, if it pushes my comfort zone, Lord, I want to step out of my comfort because you want to take me places I've never been before. You want to do things through me, Lord, that I've never known before. Is that your heart? Yeah, I hope so. Listen. Peter finally went to Caesarea. And I think it's so interesting. While he's preaching, he doesn't even come to a benediction. He doesn't give an altar call. He says these words, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went about doing good, healing all of those oppressed of the devil. Holy Spirit began to be poured out on these Gentiles, you see. Just by saying, of course, what the Lord was putting on his heart. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. Do you know John writes to the believers in the first epistle that bears his name? You know, there are three besides the gospel. It's in the second chapter. It's the 20th verse. He says this, you have the same anointing as the Holy One. The same anointing as the Holy One. Jesus was called the Holy One by a demon in the synagogue at Capernaum. And Jesus muzzled that demon right there. He was the Holy One. He's still the Holy One. But you know what? You're holy. You've been made holy, sanctified, set apart. Saints. Is that a little hard to swallow? I'm a saint. Huh? A lot of people testify, well, I'm a sinner. Well, you know, you used to fall short of the glory of God if you didn't know Him, but when you gave your heart to Jesus, you became sanctified, set apart. How many of you realize that the Corinthians had some spiritual issues? Does anybody read that word? And Paul says, I'd like to write to you as spiritual. Listen to this. He said, but you're carnal, you're fleshly. But you know what? He called them saints. And he said they were the crown jewel of his apostleship. Go back and look it up. We need to know whose we are and who we are in him. And the incredible capacity that we have for the Spirit of God to move through us. It's not about us. It's all about Him. And if we can just learn to cultivate an awareness of the Almighty, the Most High, the Living God, the Lord of Heaven's armies in us. To will and to work is good. That means deity is in here. No, we're not God. The same Peter writes in the second epistle, first chapter, verses 3 and 4. He says, through his divine power, he's given to you everything pertaining to life and godliness. And he's granted to you precious and magnificent promises. Do you love the promises? All the promises are yes, but we've got to add our amen to it. We've got to be in agreement with who he is and what he said. I know, but. I don't want to say it in the wrong way, but we need to get that conjunction out of the way. Because the sky is not the limit with our God. And he's in you. And he's in me to will and to work his good pleasure, everything pertaining to life and godliness. Is that eternal life? Is that abundant life? Come on. Is that resurrection and the life in you? My. The bread of life in us. My. I don't want to ever get over that. I want to be like a wide-eyed kid looking into a candy store window at the chocolate. Wide-eyed wonder. Yeah. Don't ever graduate from that, you see. And then those precious and magnificent promises, in order by them we become partakers of the divine nature. Think of it. The divine nature is in you. My. With man it's impossible, or not possible. But with God, all things are. Do you believe that? Yes, all things. Get the conjunction out of the way, though. You say, well, I'm not Jesus. No, but Jesus is in you. The Christ, the anointed one, the hope, the assurance of the glory of God that we sang about. Wow. My, my. You have the same anointing, and I have the same anointing as the Holy One. You know, the anointing is not just a thing. An it, a feeling. Oh, you can have feelings. I mean, feelings. That's all I can do is one word. You don't want to hear me sing. I remember I was ministering in Connecticut. I'll go back there next month, and I was making these moves on the platform, and this young adult was over on the side and went like this. Boy, would she have really gone crazy if I'd start singing. You see, we have that anointing. Jesus was anointed, right? We have the same anointing. Do you remember when he comes to Nazareth, to the synagogue, the town that he grew up in? He was given the scroll to Isaiah the prophet, wasn't he? He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me." You see, the Spirit of God is the anointing. I'm trying to cultivate more and more and more. Now, this is my 52nd year of ministry, but I want to cultivate more and more and more an awareness of the Holy Spirit in me. Because he's in us to will and to work his good pleasure. Doesn't Paul use this term several times? In fact, some of you probably know how many times in Christ. Does he use that in his epistles? How many times? Anybody counted? I haven't counted, but I heard somebody say it. I'm just taking it, you know, it's quite a squat. 70 times in Christ. Do you think he's trying to get something through to us? Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's the manifest presence of God. As you receive the Christ, so live in him. He's our life. But you see, he's the anointed one. And we have that same anointing. You know, I had a couple meetings this week. Misty and daughters were there. And one of the daughters isn't here right now. She's in the back. Oh, sorry. Bring up. No, shouldn't embarrass her. Stay back there, honey. Sneak out later. Oh, come on, relax. It's all right. You know. Am I okay, Dick Butt? Not Dick Butkus, Mike Ditka. He's back there, you know. Same anointing as the Holy One. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He actually read that. He probably just said it. Because he has anointed me. Who? The Spirit of God. Proclaim good news. Good news overtakes bad news. I tried to do some good news. I greeted about, I don't know, it was 5 or 6 people, the greeting committee. Remember, you were on the committee there? And I said, "Go Pitt." And I got in trouble. I just have, you know, I have to. Anyway, they all love me. I'm not a Pitt fan. I just saw the Penn State hat. Come on. Good news, though. Maybe that wasn't good news. One of my coaches coached, he was a defensive coordinator at Pitt when they had a great running back. What was his name? Played for the Dallas Cowboys. Come on. Guy named Dorsett. Somebody goes, what are you, a Giants fan? Come on. Philly. Love Philly. Say, preach. Would you preach? Some of you just need to relax. Just relax. Take a chill pill. It's okay. Good news, though. Listen to me. This is good news. Good news overtakes your bad news, doesn't it? Yes. And then he says recovery of sight. We had a lady who had seeing impairment. My friends back there, Allison and JP, they were at a meeting on Wednesday night. And the lady against the wall had impaired eyesight. Linda, John Hanlon's wife, this is the pastor, saw her and her friend the next day. Did you hear the story? Her eye was healed. Why? Because she responded to the Spirit of God in the name of the Lord Jesus. And it wasn't about me. Didn't even know she was healed. You were there last night, weren't you, ladies? Huh? And what happened to the guy who had an elbow and deterioration for eight years? Do you remember 8 years? And he couldn't even do this, could he? Without pain. He was doing that then. Why? Because of the Spirit of God. You were there, Susan. You saw. He had pain. Anybody have pain on the bottom of their feet? I mean, it was just every step, you know. He got healed. Why? Because of the anointing, the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Our eyes are on Jesus. One of the things I'm trying to teach people is, let's keep our eyes on Jesus in here. He's in us, right? The Christ, the Anointed One, He's in us. My. We saw the Lord do so many wonders. One guy, didn't that guy that had the Bronx, remember the guy had Bronx baseball hat? Is that in Georgia? Bronx? Come on, New York, help me here, people. You know it's New York. I live in Georgia. I'm from the South. But I was born in Southern Connecticut. New York people don't like to hear that. This guy, 35, what do you call them up here, sneakers or tennis shoes? Sneakers. They're sneakers. Who would have 35 pairs of sneakers? He couldn't even wear them, could he? Couldn't even put them on. And we know what happened Friday night. God started moving in his feet. And he had his shoes on. Boy, he was jumping up and down as he testified. See? Why? Because Mr. Wonderful laid hands on him? No. Because if we can focus on Jesus, the Anointed One who's in us, Holy Spirit who is the anointing. And I want to tell you, our Father and our Lord Jesus don't take the back seat to the Holy Spirit, but we need to know Him. Doesn't Paul finish the second epistle to the Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the 13th verse? May the grace of the Lord, do you embrace the grace of the Lord Jesus? Huh? God's enabling power, His unmerited favor. The love of God, the love of the Father. God so loved that the world, He gave, right? He gave His best. Man, just want to totally surrender all of me, Lord. And then it says this, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You have a very good fellowship, community, communion, co-union here at Spring City Fellowship Church. People so friendly. Man, I just feel warmth when I come in here. People greet you and just, you know, and they mean it. They mean it. Listen, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, co-union, common union, sharing with the Holy Spirit. What do we have in agreement or in sharing or in co-union with the Holy Spirit? Well, Jesus says, He will glorify me. Do you want to glorify Jesus? So does He. See, that's part of what He does. And it doesn't negate the fact that He's part of the whole Godhead, isn't He? The Spirit of God. Yes. But He said, He will share. He will speak what He hears. Hears from who? Jesus. Our head who's in here. He will convey what Jesus is saying. You know what? Don't raise your hand. Who can't hear the voice of God? Don't raise your hand, I said. Now raise your hand if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and all your sins are forgiven. Every one of you can hear the voice of God because you responded to His voice, whether it was a strong impression, a burn, a nudge from the Spirit of God, you responded. We can all hear Him, you see. Every one of us. Every one of us. Don't you want to hear Him better? Sure. Well, you don't have to strain and struggle. Just set that desire. Lord, I want to hear You. I want You to overtake and take over. You know, we're to be filled with the Spirit all the time, aren't we, Vicki? Yeah, all the time. Don't be drunk with what? Wine, where's excess or dissipation, right? But be what? Continually being filled with the Spirit. And that's life. Abundant life. Eternal life. My. I know I've strayed from Memorial Day, but we need to remember this and not forget it. Just like our great heroes and our King of Kings, our hero, to remember and not forget, not stray from the reality. His power, His presence. Yes. Do you know, I believe that we can see increase in the Lord Jesus as the Son of Man. Bible says in Philippians 2, He emptied Himself and did not clutch onto His deity. Do you remember that? Doesn't mean He wasn't the Son of God anymore, but He became the Son of Man to be tempted just like we are. This is Bible, yet He never sinned. Touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what we go through. Whatever weakness you have, whatever infirmity you're struggling with, not negating that, you know, the Lord knows, but He's touched with the feelings of those infirmities. Who's ever going through what? I see a wheel, is that a wheelchair back there? He's touched with the feelings of those infirmities. I've got a friend here who's just been in a battle with cancer for a few years. She knows that the healer's in her. She knows that He's in here to transform those cancerous cells and to wither. And it always doesn't happen automatically or instantaneously. Come on. We even see Jesus speak to a fig tree, doesn't He? He says, no one will eat from your fruit. And you know, why does He say that? Well, it's a book I'm writing. Okay? In fact, it's already written. The ghostwriter's had it since December. Only got the introduction in 3 chapters. Amazing person. Just let's get to work on it, Rose. So, why do I bring up the fig tree? It's not the season for fruit. No one will ever eat of that fruit because I'll tell you what, I believe the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden. Some of you are going to get mad at me. It wasn't an apple. I believe it was a fig. And I think I can show you that in Scripture. Okay? Don't stop eating figs because you still eat apples. Some of you don't like apples. Well, get a grip. Help you go bathroom. Come on, relax. Don't get religious on me. It's okay. No one, you know what? The tree was not withered until the next day when they're going back over the Mount of Olives And Peter notices it. Lord, it's withered. See, Jesus even operated with a grain of mustard seed faith. He did. He absolutely. Remember, he prayed for one blind man. And this blind man said, well, I see people and they're like walking trees. Was he instantaneously healed? Come on, help me. No. But you know what? The healing unfolded and he was healed. See, whatever you're going through, listen, you're in a process. You're in a process. Don't give up. You know, my brother JP at the end is going to give a prophetic word about the harvest. You know, we prayed for his sister. Was that 2 days ago? I remember. Yeah. You say, well, your memory's not working too good. You go down these rabbit trails, but you notice I usually come back. It takes a second. Sometimes the bird flies off the limb. Has that ever happened to you? But it comes back. Yeah. We prayed powerfully for his sister. Powerfully. Because there were some things going on in her without going into detail. And I'm going to tell you, there was some demonic activity. Wasn't there, brother? Am I right or am I right? Say the first one. Yes. And you know, Jesus said, I cast out. I'm not saying she had a demon in her, but she was being influenced greatly by a demonic. And it affected where she was living. Jesus said, I cast out demons by the finger of God. That's the anointing, the Holy Spirit. You remember he said that? And you know that finger wrote on the walls of where Belteshazzar was, you know, present day Iraq and Iran, you know. Yeah. Many, many tekel upharsin. You've been weighed, you've been judged, and you're no account. And I want to tell you something, that king's knees begin to knocking. Long before the song, when my knees are knocking. And what happened? Finger of God, Holy Spirit appeared. Same finger that wrote on the tablets of stone. You love the Ten Commandments? The first ones, those tablets in the ark, written by the finger of God. And we agreed. You stuck out your finger, didn't you? And I stuck out my finger. We prayed in agreement and commanded every demonic influence in the name of Jesus to retract, to withdraw, to bow on bended knee, because Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go with that authority. Even before the cross, before the empty tomb, the resurrection, the ascension, Jesus said to those 70 or 72, however you want to interpret that, that returned and said, Lord, even demons are subject to us in your name. Remember that scripture? Luke 10:17 following. And he said, don't just rejoice at that. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. He's not negating the rejoice of the authority. He said, behold, I saw Satan fall. Remember this? I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And he says, I give unto you all power and authority over all the power of the enemy. Don't be afraid of the devil. He's defeated. He's defeated. Now, he can try to steal, kill, and destroy and lie, but don't let him. Don't let him steal what God has provided through his precious blood that we sang about this morning. Yeah. For freedom, he set us free, right? I love that story about Smith Wigglesworth. You know, he woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning one time, looked over, and the devil was sitting in a chair. Anybody ever heard this before? He looked at him and said, oh, it's just you. Rolled back and went back to sleep. Make no mistake about it, there's spiritual warfare, but I want to tell you something, most of it is up here. When Paul in Ephesians is talking about principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, he's talking about those that are positioned over nations and those that influence places. But I want to tell you, you've got authority over the devil. And that was what Jesus said before the cross. Before he was buried, rose from the dead, and ascended to be seated at the right hand. Listen, you've been raised to walk in newness of life. You've got the resurrection power of Jesus in you. Wow. We need to just get over the duh. Yeah. The things I do, you'll do, right? Didn't he say that? And greater, because I go to the Father. I'm seeing the Lord do things, miraculous things, because people are embracing the deity that's in them, focusing on Jesus within them, and not trying to get the Lord way up in the third heaven to come down. I know there are some songs today, Lord, come, and you know, they probably mean, Lord, manifest your presence, okay? Manifest your presence in our midst. But boy, we've got to cultivate the awareness in here. And it's not about us. Jesus says three times, John 5:19, he doesn't say John 5:19, but it's in 5:19, 5:30, John 8:28, I can do nothing from myself. But I do what? What I see my Father doing. He stayed focused on Father in here through the Spirit. Remember, he emptied himself. He took the form of a bondservant. I can do nothing. Don't put yourself down, but just recognize that it's all about Jesus. And that his power and presence, he's the healer, isn't he? Help me here. Well, the healer's in you. He's the provider, isn't he? Yes. Three of you agree. Provider's in here. Righteousness of God here. Not our righteousness. He's made us righteous, right? Are you with me here? Yes, I know you are. Just take us over and overtake us. And we have that same anointing. Good news, remember I started that? I'm back there where I left off. Recovery of sight, the gal, you know, and I've seen God opening eyes that are blind and partially blind and not good eyesight, cataract, what's the stuff with the pressure? What's that called? Glaucoma, thank you. You're a nurse or something. You know that. Macro degeneration. See, degeneration turn around to regeneration. Yeah. Listen, he's in you to will and to work his good pleasure. Yeah. And we prayed for his sister, the finger of God. And I want to tell you something. Yesterday when he was with his sister, I'm not going to mention her name. Maybe I already did. Doesn't matter. Nikki. Okay, Nikki. She got saved, she got delivered, and she got healed. Thank you, Jesus. Who was that? Me? Who was that, JP? It was him. It was him in us. And I want to tell you those demons. I want to tell you this. This will help you. Oh, it's still early. Come on. And I'm not going to keep you all day. I like to eat too. Just relax. I was doing 4 days of services in Lutz, Florida, above Tampa. My last set of meetings before this last Thanksgiving. And last night, it's Wednesday night, this young adult mother, she comes up and she says, can I share something? And I said, absolutely, come here. And so she's there and she says, my sons, my teenage boys, they have no interest. They mock my faith, you know. They just mock my faith. Some of you have family members or what have you that do that. I said, well, we're going to pray that the goodness of God be revealed to them. And she was even saying that, you know, they're in some demonic activity. You know, they're very interested in, you know, in everything but the power of God and the power of Jesus, you know, all kinds of, you know, other stuff. And I said, you know something? And this happened. I had a vision of a demon. Now, I don't see demons behind every bush, so please just relax, okay? I saw this demon, and it was looking at me, but it was terrified like this. Because the demon saw Jesus in me. It wasn't my good looks. I've told you before, I was best looking in high school. Did I ever tell you that? Yeah. It was a small class. Okay, I was homeschooled. This demon was terrified. And the Lord was showing me something, and I told the mom and I told the congregation, and I said, we're going to point the finger of God at those demons, and those demons are going to be muzzled. Because whatever we bind on, bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth, loosed in heaven. Right? Huh? Great power and authority. All power and authority over all the power of the enemy. And then I said, I want all of us. Now, no more pointing the finger. Let's just reach our hands. Let's pray that God reveals His goodness to these boys. Anybody remember the story about the, sure you do, the prodigal? You remember that? Huh? This boy, this Jewish boy, is feeding oinkers. They're unclean. He can't even eat the pods he's feeding them. You think this Jewish boy went to the bottom of the barrel? Help me here. Huh? You couldn't get any lower. And what happens? Scripture says he comes to his senses. And it was the goodness of God, because he says this, how good even the hired servants have it back with my dad. See, it was the goodness of God. Do you have relatives right now that need to come to Jesus? Maybe people that are backs, maybe show no interest. Every day, the goodness of God. Dear Holy Spirit, reveal the goodness of God, because you're the one who convicts the world of sin, judgment, and righteousness. Oh, dear Holy Spirit, thank you for the fellowship that we share, the agreement that we have. Lord, reveal your goodness. And that's what the congregation was praying. In fact, I want you to just say, help me, Holy Spirit, to pray that every day for those loved ones. Those prodigals, if they're lost and never shown an interest, Lord, just reveal your goodness. Reveal your goodness. Because the goodness of God leads to repentance. Changing the way we think. And I'll tell you what, God's word and God's thoughts will begin to intersect with their thinking. Maybe even their dream life. Maybe even people that they come into contact with, the goodness of God, the goodness of God, the goodness of God. So the administrator of the church contacts me 2 weeks later and said, remember those boys? I said, oh yeah. They've both come to Jesus and they were just in church Sunday. Come on, give God praise. Give God praise. Listen, greater is He who is in you and me than that one who's in the world. Greater, the greater one, yes. And you and I have the same anointing, how God anointed our Lord Jesus. And I want to tell you something, expect increase. After Jesus, you know, he's baptized, remember, by John. While he's praying, what happens? The heavens are opened, right? The Spirit of God descends in bodily form. The descent is like a dove. Holy Spirit's not a dove. But the descent is bodily form. The descent is like a dove descending and rests upon him. Not only that, he's filled, because the scriptures that follow that, and we see this in Luke chapter 4 verse 1, he's filled with the Spirit. As the Son of Man, he's led by the Spirit where? Into the wilderness. He's going to be tempted by the devil. You remember the temptations. Jesus was in agreement with his Father. First temptation. Remember what Papa said? Father said this, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, in whom I delight. Jesus held on to that word. And the first temptation is, if you're the Son of God, to doubt his identity, who he is. If you suffer with rejection, man, you ought to wake up every morning, I'm accepted in the beloved. God's adopted me. I'm an heir of yours, dear Father. Thank you. I'm a joint heir with our Lord Jesus, Romans chapter 8. That's why it's called Victory Boulevard. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. No one. God's for you, so who can be against you? What can be against you? And I'm going to tell you, that spirit of rejection will bow on bended knee. And I know I grew up with that, okay? Man, you don't think I had... I'm not shy anymore, am I, people? You think I'm shy? And it's not just when I get up here. It's out there. I love to go to the grocery store. My wife doesn't like to go to the grocery store. Now, be honest, who doesn't like to go to the grocery store? Well, that's okay. Thank you for your honesty. I see that hand. There's a hand. Yes. I love to go because I love to talk to people. I love to pray for people sometimes in the grocery store. Not every time, but, you know, I build relationships in the grocery store. Yeah. I've got some of the people that check out, you know, when they're walking around, they'll come up and hug me because they like the way I part my hair. I was best known. Listen to me. Listen, you can be transformed, whatever you've been through, because of the greater one in here than that one who's in the world. Yes, absolutely. Now. It was beautiful last night. You were there. The gentleman, he'd been in many meetings, gave his heart to Jesus right there. You were just sitting, a couple rows away. Yeah. Gave his heart to Jesus. The guy that had his elbow healed eight years and his foot, he got baptized. Boom. Took the dip. Took the plunge. Yeah. Why? Because the Spirit of God was moving and people opening up, you know, and flowing with Him. Yeah. When you went to the bathroom, I shared about how your sister came to the Lord and got delivered and everything. You see, and what he said, what JP said is, he said, I've got a word about the harvest. Listen, God wants to work miracles through you. In you, but through you. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Well, thank you. I heard no oh me's. But we need to get ready for the harvest, because it's going to happen in grocery stores. It's going to happen wherever the Lord takes you if you're open. Just you know, Him to flow in you. You're going to be healed. You're going through a healing process, right? Yeah, yeah. Jesus anointed a guy's eyes with what? What did He put in those sockets? Mud? Spit. Thank you, honey. He made mud out of spit. Whew. Is that gross or what? Not if it makes you see. Boy, I'm going to tell you, it messed some people up. Can you imagine reaching down and grabbing some soil? You got to get a big honker up to make mud. Come on, relax. Oh, you think Peter and John, they brought out this velvet curtain. And they brought this brass spittoon. No, I think he just... And he made mud. You think that messed some people up? Putting it, boom, boom. Oh, he's not going to do that to me. Well, he also took spittle one time and put it on a guy's tongue. I think I'm going to do that today. No, just kidding. But if he tells me, I'll do it. You may leave, but that's okay. That guy, go wash in the pool of what? Siloam. And he did, and his eyes were open. That's a process, isn't it? Yeah. Three of you agree. Thank you, Lord. Well, thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Lord.